Good to see all of you again this evening. I appreciate Brandon leading the singing. He sent me a message this afternoon and asked me what I was preaching on. And when things don't always go according to plan, sometimes you have to improvise, overcome, and adapt. And I think he did that very well tonight. So I commend him for that. Sometimes it's not easy to improvise, overcome, and adapt. And sometimes we sink. But he didn't sink, and I appreciate his efforts. He still had songs that pertain to what I want to preach about tonight, looking for Jesus. You know, there are those who earnestly, diligently look for Jesus because he gives evidences of his power and his presence in everything that we see in every part of our lives. In fact, when Paul went through Mars Hill there, he preached about the unknown altar there that they had. As he walked through the streets of the city, they were such superstitious people that they had altars to everything that they could think of in a religious manner. And he said, I want to preach to you about that unknown God, because they put an altar there to the God just in case they left somebody out. So in verse 24 of Acts 17, he says, this God that I want to talk to you about is the one who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life to all, breath and all things. Paul says, this God that you worship unknowingly is who I want to talk to you about. He says in verses 26 through 27, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of all the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And he says in verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We need to seek God in truth. We need to have a loyal heart and a willing mind. We read about that in 1 Chronicles 28. In verse 9, David says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So David looks at his son Solomon, who is about to take the throne, and he says, look for God. Seek him out. And if you seek out God, David says, he will find you. But if you forsake God, then God will cast you off forever. But you know, people today still look for God. They just look in all the wrong places. You have what's called Plan B Christians today, that the only time they look for Jesus is at Christmas time. Oh, well, it's the birth of Christ. It's his birthday. We've got to go celebrate baby Jesus' birthday. And they say, well, that's the day we have to look for Jesus. And then they look for him on Easter, the resurrection, they say. But the problem is, that's the only time that a lot of people in this country will look for Jesus. We need to be looking for Jesus on a daily basis. In John chapter 7, Jesus said, beginning in verse 34, you will seek me and not find me, for where I am you cannot come. Then the Jews said among themselves, where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this thing that he said, you shall seek me and not find me, and where I am going you cannot come? Why didn't they find Jesus? They had Jesus in their midst every day. Why didn't the Jews find him? You think it might be because their heart was wrong? Do you think it might be because they had the wrong source of information? I mean, the Jews in that time frame, as we've been studying here with some in the afternoons once a week, they didn't know who Jesus was. They thought he was going to come in and restore the physical Israel to the throne. They had the wrong information. And they looked for him for all the wrong reasons. Why are you looking for Jesus? Have you found Him? Are you sure you have found Him? And if you're confident that you have found Him, why are you so sure and confident? And if you haven't found Him, where are you looking? And where do you plan to find Him? You know, there were people throughout the Bible that looked for Jesus. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, we see that the wise men, the magi in some translations, looked for Jesus. They put out traveling looking for this Son of God, this Messiah that had been introduced to the world. And they're told in verses 1 and 2, or we're told in verses 1 and 2 of Matthew 2, that they came and they worshiped the newborn king. Psalm 2 tells us that this was a worthy purpose for seeking Jesus. Is that why you seek Him? To worship Him? Our aim ought to be, as Jesus said in John 4 and verse 24 when He talked to the woman at the well there, to seek Him, find Him, and then worship Him. But these magi, or magicians, the wise men, they found Jesus, but they found Him where man would least expect to find Him. They didn't find Him in a palace. They found Him in a manger, remember? Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. But where do you find the King today? Where have you found Him? Let me suggest to you that the King is found in the Scriptures. We see that in Matthew 2, verses 5 and 6. Look at Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Zechariah 9 and verse 9. In Scripture is where we're guided, still guided, to find the King. So if you want to find Jesus and put Him into your life, that's where you need to turn. You need to turn to the pages of the inspired Word and look for Jesus. And yet when they found Him, they worshiped Him. Verses 9 through 11 of Matthew 2. There's someone else that looked for Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, we're told that His parents looked for Him, verses 41 through 50. You'll remember His parents had gone to the Passover and to worship there, and when they left, they were traveling with family and friends because at that time there was safety in numbers. Well, after they'd gone about a day or so away from Jerusalem, they couldn't find Jesus, and they went looking for Him. They looked among their family and friends that they were traveling with, thinking, here's a 12-year-old boy. Surely he's with some other family that has children and he's playing with them. But they couldn't find Him. We see that in Luke 2, verses 43 and 45. But you know, that's a reasonable place to look for our children, isn't it? When we describe this journey to and from Jerusalem that they were making, it was logical for the parents to look for Jesus amongst their crowd that they were traveling with. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5 talks about that indeed our look for Jesus may be among family and friends. You may look for Jesus among your family and friends is the point. But we've already pointed out that the best place to look for Jesus is in the Scriptures. But in chapter 1 and verse 5 of 2 Timothy, Paul is making the point there, or 2 Timothy 3, about Lois and Eunice's influence on the young man Timothy. How he had been taught the Scriptures from a young age. In fact, Paul says in that passage, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It's a reasonable thing for us to look for Jesus among our family and friends. But let me suggest to you that when we do that, they are not the final say-so. Our family and friends are not the source or standard by which we must find Jesus. Remember Jesus' parents? They went back looking for Jesus. And where was the first place they looked for Him? Among family and friends. Mamas and daddies ain't always correct. Sometimes they make mistakes. They are infallible. They are not a perfect source of truth. But parents, as we noticed this morning, should direct children to the true source of finding Jesus, the Word of God. I hate to say it, because I'm a parent, but sometimes parents can be wrong. You know, I have made a mistake every now and then. That's a joke. I've made more than a few mistakes. But Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 6 tells us that God's Word is never wrong. So we would do well to tell our children to look for Jesus in God's Word. The gospel that Christ preached leads us to Him, even when parents refuse to know and believe the truth. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 37. But again, His parents looked in familiar places. We see that in verse 45. They had been to Jerusalem to observe the Passover, and the first thing they did was they looked for Him in familiar places. So they go back to Jerusalem when they don't find Him. And they look for Him in all the familiar places. If you lost a child, and let me tell you, I've been a band parent and we have lost children. And a band director is not happy when you lose children, because most of the time it's because that child wants to do what that child wants to do. You parents ain't never had a child like that, have you? Wink, wink. But here they are. They go back, and you have to imagine. Their child is 12 years old, and they are frantic. They're worried out of their mind, where is Jesus? So they go back to Jerusalem. And they look in the buildings that are maintained by men. Today we might look at monuments and shrines and cathedrals that are built and maintained by men. But that's not where we need to look for Jesus at. We need to look for Jesus in the Scriptures. We may look for Jesus in our comfortable traditions, but that's not where He's going to be found. Again, He's going to be found in the Scriptures. Paul would write in Galatians 1, verses 13 through 16, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation." In other places, Paul would make a reference to this in a sense and say, I was a Jew of Jews. I was better than a lot of them. I was farther advanced than a lot of them. Being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. And that's where he was looking for God. He says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood." He didn't go and say, "Hey, Mama, hey, Daddy, this happened to me on the road to Damascus. What should I do? Should I believe Jesus?" Well, you know the story. He did. And he did obey Jesus. But it's interesting that he understood that flesh and blood was not the place. Tradition, as he pointed out, was not the place to confirm where Jesus is at. That's true with us today. We are to look for Jesus in these familiar places. In the commands. Let me catch up here. Not in the commands of doctrine and men. Jesus would tell the Jews in Matthew 15 and verse 19 that in vain you teach for doctrine the commandments of men. It's vanity to follow the traditions and commandments of men when all you need to do is follow the teachings of Christ. But his parents looked for him. His parents were looking for Jesus. They looked among family and friends. They looked in the familiar places. And guess where they found him? Doing his father's business. You see that in verse 49 of Matthew 2. John would record it in John 8. So, like Jesus, we too must be doing the Father's will. We see that in John 9 and verse 4. He said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work." Jesus talked about people that come to him in the Sermon on the Mount. We made mention of this morning. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Remember, they came to him and said, look at all the things we're doing in your name, Jesus. Talking about the traditions of men. Talking about the commandments of men and all the familiar things that people like about worshiping God. And Jesus said, depart from me. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, just because you do it in the name of Jesus does not make it right. You need to look for Jesus in the Scriptures. So we see that the wise men look for Jesus. His parents look for Jesus. But I want to suggest to you that even those who have a selfish interest look for Jesus. We see that in John chapter 6, verses 22 through 26. But we cannot find Jesus when we operate with only selfish purposes or false teachings. That's what this passage teaches us. In fact, if you back up to verse 15, it says that we've got to follow His agenda and not our own. Remember, Jesus condemned those in Matthew 7 that said, Lord, Lord, look at all the way. And He said, depart from me. If you want to find Jesus, as we've already established, is you must look for Him in the pages of the Scriptures. You can't look for Him because some building's got a pretty steeple. You can't look for Jesus in some place because it's a multi-million-dollar establishment. You can't look for Jesus because of the structure. You know, the structure is not the church. You are. And the church must be searching for Jesus in the pages of His Word. We will not find Jesus if we are biased religiously, morally, etc. We just simply won't find Him. In James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, James talks about this. But in verse 8, he says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Remember, just saying, Lord, Lord, is not enough. It's not sufficient enough to just say, Jesus, Jesus, look at all I've done in your name. The Hebrew writer would tell us in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that we have to diligently seek Him in faith. If we don't have faith, then it is impossible to please Jesus. It's impossible to please God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, putting an earnest effort into finding Jesus. That's what we talked about Tuesday morning, wasn't it? That word earnest, diligently. Diligently looking for Jesus, putting some effort into it, having a strong desire to wanting to find God. But you can't do it without faith. Strong's says that it means to search out, to investigate, crave, demand. Y'all know what a pregnant woman does when she gets pregnant, don't you? She craves certain foods. When Marilyn was pregnant with Daniel, we'd have to go to Sam's and buy the salsa in the big quart bottle. Because that's what she craved. And you may crave certain things when when you were pregnant. That's the description that Strong's is saying you need to have for wanting to find Jesus. Something that you just can't do without. And you're not going to be satisfied until you find it. A Bible dictionary says it means to exert effort to find out or learn something, to seek out, to search for. So, you know, people of faith seek and they find God by hearing and doing His will. Hebrews chapter 11 points that out with several examples. You talk about Abel, Enoch, Noah that we're discussing on Wednesday nights, Abraham. So Hebrews chapter 11 is faith's hall of fame. Romans chapter 10 verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's where you find Jesus. Are you looking for Jesus? Mankind has always looked for the Son of God. the only place to find him is in the inspired Scriptures. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." What is your desire about finding Jesus? Are you diligently looking for him? Do you crave to know who Jesus is, to know more about him? You know, you will find Jesus right where he's always been, in his holy word of truth. We preach so that lost souls can find Jesus and find his salvation. That's what Paul did in Acts 17 when he preached to them about the unknown God. Look in the right place and look for the right reasons, and you will find Jesus. He is in his gospel, the truth. The Messiah's grace is available in his holy Scriptures. All we have to do is diligently seek for him. Like I said, mankind has always done that. And we should be no different. And when we find Jesus, we should be wanting to share what we have found. It may be that you're here tonight. You've never put Christ on in baptism. Have you found Jesus? If you have found Jesus, then there's really no reason for you to wait. If you know the Scriptures, if you have looked the Scriptures over and you've searched the Scriptures, and you know that that's where Jesus is at, you know what his commands are, there's really no reason to put off being baptized. The Scriptures are perfect. But it may be that you've already done that. You've put Christ on in baptism, but there's something in your life that prevents you from living the fullness of being a Christian. If you're here tonight and you need to respond to the invitation, please make your way to the front while we stand and while we sing.